Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look to the Word of God today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Message today is three times in the olive press or three times in the oil press. And we want to take a look at the passage that speaks of Jesus praying three times in the Garden of Gethsemane and how we can apply that to our lives today and receive the Word of the Lord. So let's look at Matthew 26. And verse 36, then Jesus came with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. Oil press. And Jesus prayed three times in Gethsemane. Gethsemane was on the Mount of Olives, just across the valley. Up the hill was the temple. The olive groves were on the Mount of Olives. That's where the olive presses were, and one of the reasons they were there is because the temple and house of God required oil. Oil for lamps, anointing oil, oil for the sacrifices and offerings, and so it was in close proximity. Gethsemane, the oil press. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Jesus under the oil press, three times in the olive press. And it's significant that there are three presses of the oil that were used for the administration of the house of God and the people of the Lord. This last time when we were on the Land of the Bible tour, and you should consider coming to the Middle East with us one day, because you'll learn many things you wouldn't have known before. But when it came to the olive press, there were three presses of oil. And it's an interesting connection that Jesus prayed three times in the oil press, that there was a distress upon him, there was a pressing upon his life, and he brought forth oil, he brought forth life, he brought forth blessing for the people of God. And we want to look at those three today, but first let's take a look at an ancient oil press or olive press. Took this picture last time we were in Israel, and you can see the beam that's over the top, a heavy beam. And then at the front of the picture here, there are three weights. And so the first press of oil would take the lighter weight, then there would be two weights on the beam, and the heaviest press would require all three weights to come down on. As you can see in the back of the picture, there's a black mass there. That is a mesh with the crushed olives. And so they would crush the olives, and it would become a mash, and they would put it in a mesh, and so that pulpy mass would be put under the beam, then weights would be attached at increasing dimensions, and the beam would come down on that olive mash, and the oil would begin to flow. Three times, three weights, three presses of the oil. Hallelujah. And Jesus prayed three times in the garden, and so we want to look at those. The first press was for oil for the temple. The second press was oil for food, for eating and cooking. And the third press was for lamps and soap, for cleansing. This morning, number one, the first press, oil for the temple, the house of God. Oil for the temple, the house of God. Exodus 27 and verse 20, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. This was oil for the tabernacle or the house of God. Command the children of Israel. Command them that they bring pure oil of pressed olives for the light. Now, for the anointing oil for the temple and other purposes, as I've already mentioned. But this first press of oil, this was extra virgin olive oil, the lightest press. It only took one weight on the beam to bring forth this oil. This oil was so willing to flow. This oil was so willing. And it shouldn't take much for us to respond to the Holy Spirit, to begin to anoint His house, to begin to anoint the prayer rooms, to begin to anoint the worship of the house of the Lord. It shouldn't take much press of the Holy Spirit to get you up and on your way to the house of God every week, to be in His presence, to anoint the church, to anoint the Lord. It should take but the slightest press, the slightest call of the worship leader, and this place should break forth into singing and dancing and celebration, hands lifted and hearts crying out in praise unto the Lord. Instant response. This oil flows so willingly. It doesn't take much. I want to bless the Lord. I want to bless His house. I want to increase and enrich His people because of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn a lesson from John the Beloved, aged John the Beloved in Revelation 4:2. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit. Immediately I was in the Spirit. How long does it take us to get into the Spirit? Is it an immediate response in our lives? We're so quick to respond to the Lord. It doesn't take much press of the beam. The oil is flowing for God and for His house. Isaiah saw the seraphim in the presence of God. In Isaiah 6, these burning ones, these shining angelic beings of such a high order, and they were crying out in the presence of God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. It said they didn't rest. They were at full strength all the time. My, how wonderful that will be one day when there's no drag on our system, when there's no tiredness in our body. But we will be able to stand in full strength like we sometimes do. Isn't it wonderful when you stand in worship and it's like your body is strong, your mind is fresh, your spirit is alive, and you can just pour out on the Lord? Those angelic beings know no weakness. They know no fainting or human infirmity, and they don't need to rest. And day and night, the Bible says, they are pouring out praises on the Lord. With two wings, they cover their face. Humility. With two wings they cover their feet. Holiness. And with two wings they fly. Rapid response, instant response to the presence of the Lord. They are quick in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we drag our feet, but we should bolt out of the blocks to get to the house of the Lord. We should run after the Lord. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. They run to it, and they are safe. They're protected. They're kept alive in the presence of the Lord. It shouldn't take much press for us to respond to the Lord. Now in Genesis 28, verses 16 to 19, Jacob was in a place and received revelation from the Lord. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome, how fearful is this place. Yes, the presence of God is fearful, it's awesome. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Jacob awoke. He understood that he received revelation of the house of God. He said, I'm going to take this rock and I'm going to anoint this rock on which I rested my weary head. And that rock speaks of Christ. And that pillar speaks of the house of God. Jacob received a revelation, and I believe it's time for every person in the church to awake out of sleep and get a revelation of the house of God and the person of Jesus Christ And that we would rise and anoint Jesus Christ. We'd anoint the rock, anoint Christ, pour out blessing, pour out worship, pour out adoration, pour out fragrant praises like Mary did as she broke the alabaster box of precious spikenard and poured it out on her Lord, and the house was filled with the perfume, pouring out on the Lord and pouring out on the house of God, on Bethel. Bethel means house of God. Anointing the house of God, that when we come, there's a supply of Holy Spirit inspiration and unction in our life, that we anoint the service, we anoint the prayer rooms, we anoint the worship, we anoint the word of God as it's preached. This first press of oil, it flowed the most willingly, oil for the house of God. Hallelujah. Number two, the second press, oil for food, for cooking, for eating and cooking. Numbers 11:8 says, the people went about and gathered it, that is the manna, the bread of God, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. The taste of pastry prepared with oil, or bread dipped in virgin olive oil. Is there anything that tastes better than fresh bread dipped in virgin olive oil? It just lingers on your lips. God says, I have a supply of oil for you. I want it to be on your bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And let it be anointed bread in our lives. And bread falls out in two ways. There's the spiritual supply and there's the natural supply, the provision of life. Give us this day our daily bread. The Bible says that manna that came down from heaven, which was their natural food, but it also spoke of spiritual food, and that's what I want to touch on first, that manna from on high was anointed with oil, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they partook of it, and they ate, and they were satisfied, and they fed on the Word of God. It was anointed. We need the Word of God to be anointed in our lives. Some people don't like reading the Word of God that much. They find it dry, they find it hard, they kind of choke it down. They don't have a taste for the preaching. They don't have a taste for the teaching classes of the church. And it's because there's no anointing on the Word. Because when there is anointing on this Word tastes just fine. And the preaching tastes great. And the blessing of the Lord flows through to a person's heart. We need an anointed Word. When Israel was in a right relationship with God, when their hearts were fervent before the Lord, they said that manna tastes like wafers prepared with oil or pastry with oil. It tastes so good. In Exodus 16, they said it's like wafers made of honey. The word of God was so sweet in their mouth, they said it tastes like honey. It's interesting that the Hebrew people had certain seasons, I'm not sure if always, but at certain seasons when their children would go to learn the lessons of the Word of God and study the Word of God, that as they sat down to learn their lessons in the Word of God, that they would give the children each a taste of honey. So that the children would always associate the Word of God with sweetness, with honey, with the blessing of the Lord coming upon their lives. But you know, when Israel's heart were turned away from the Lord, when they did not have anointed lives and spirits before the Lord, they said that manna tastes like stale old bread. It says they loathed the manna. They despised the manna. We need an anointed Word. And we need to put some weight on the beam of the oil press so that some oil runs that'll anoint this Word of God in our life and cause it to live in our spirit. Jesus went to the oil press a second time so we could have an anointed Word for our eating and for our cooking, taking in the Word of God. The Word also relates to the home, how that the Lord wants us to partake of our meals and in our home to and to be blessed of the Lord, that we would have anointed meal times in our home, that in our eating and cooking there would be the flow of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we have Proverbs 21 and verse 20. It says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. There's oil in the house of the wise, in the home of the wise. Acts 2, 46 and 47 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They ate their bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord wants our mealtimes to be blessed of His presence, that when we gather in our homes with our family, that there's an anointing there. How many times has Satan spoiled the meal? How many times has Satan been able to come in and ruin the fellowship, ruin the mealtime because the conversation goes awry into strife or criticism or gossip? Things are shared and said that shouldn't be there at the table of the Lord. Eating our food with simplicity, with gladness of heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 128, said that the wife will be like a fruitful vine in the midst of the house and the children like olive plants around the table, like olive plants. They've got anointing on their lives, and they're being anointed as they sit at the table. Jesus went to the oil press a second time so that we would have food and we would have strength for our families and strength for our heart to bless us and to increase us. There is an oil supply for the Word of God. There's an oil supply for our homes, and we need to put some pressure on the beam. Add some weight to the beam. Add some weight to the beam today. Put that second weight on the beam and say, Lord, I need an anointed word in my life, and I need more anointing in my home, and I'm going to let some pressure come on me now. I'm going to let some pressure come so that the oil can flow and anoint my life in a proper way. Number three, the third press, oil for lamps and soap. Oil for lamps and soap. This was the heaviest press of all. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. The third press of oil for lamps, that is for leading and guidance of the Lord, and for soap, for cleansing, for cleansing. The Lord wants to anoint us with His leading in our life, so we walk the path of the Lord properly. And He wants to anoint our lives with anointed soap so we can be cleansed from the sin and the defilement of the flesh and the things which tear us down instead of lift our spirit. Proverbs 20, 27, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. And our lamp, our vessel, our life needs oil, so that the Holy Spirit fire can touch us and open up our way so we can see where we're going. We need oil in our life. We need anointing in our life. We need to fill up with the Spirit, as the Bible says, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. And we can tell when we are and we can tell when we're not. And we can monitor the anointing levels of our life, and we should keep them high, that when the oil drops, that we would say, I need to fill up again in the presence of the Lord. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the only way I can walk properly. It's the only way I can live in holiness. I need the oil of the Holy Spirit. When we put some pressure, and this is the heaviest weight of all, when we put this heavy pressure on our life, by the Spirit of God, we can bring forth this oil. And this oil lights our way because the fire of the Holy Spirit takes us. Jesus said, he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He that follows me will not stumble, will not walk in darkness, will not be confused, running to and fro, but will know the path of the Lord. And that lamp of the Lord will shine step by step. Sometimes Vision opens up and we can see a destination. But more often than not, we walk the path of the Lord step by step and it opens to us. Jesus Christ wants to help us. There is an anointing. There is a supernatural unction of the Holy Spirit that'll touch our spirits and quicken our hearts and our minds to show us the path of the Lord and that we can walk in the path of the Lord. It requires a press of the weight where we call out on the name of the Lord and we submit ourselves to the Lord. We say, Lord, show me your way. I want to walk in your way. And as we're desperate and sincere before the Lord to walk a path of righteousness, something takes place. The Lord begins to give us illumination. The Lord gives us revelation. There comes a shining in our lives. And we know the will of the Lord. We know the path of the Lord for our life. And this morning I want to say there is an anointing for each of us. There is an anointing that will cause us to shine in our homes with an anointed joy. There's a presence of the Lord that will cause us to shine in the house of the Lord with a powerful and glorious ministry. And there is an anointing that should touch us in the world, in our occupations, anointed men and women, anointed occupations wherever we go because we're under the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes a pressing of the oil. It takes a pressing of the olive batch in our life. And then we come to the oil for the soap, which is part of this third press. That out of the oil, this third press, they would also make soap for cleansing. Soap for cleansing. We need the cleansing of the Lord against the flesh life, against sin, defilement that's in our lives. And the Lord says, I have an anointing. I have an oil that will change you. I have a degree of oil that'll deal with your flesh life. This takes the greatest weight of all, because every one of us know that the most difficult area to deal with in our life is the flesh life, with that selfish, independent, covetous human nature. We need a heavy weight on our life. We need a heavy weight of the beam. And the Lord wants us to understand that. This is not a light thing. To overcome the flesh takes some weight. It takes a press in the presence of the Lord. It takes some desperation in the Garden of Gethsemane to pour out your heart and your soul and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I will watch with you. I will pray with you. I'm not going to enter into temptation. I'm going to overcome the flesh life. I'm going to live in your victory. You see, it's easier to praise the Lord than purify the flesh, isn't it? It's easier to praise the Lord than purify the life. And that sometime has been the knock on charismatic Christians and Pentecostal Christians. Oh, they can praise the Lord, they can sing and shout, but my, their lives, there's disorder in their lives and there's sin habits in their lives. But it's understandable because it's easier to praise the Lord than to deal with your flesh. It's easier to sing and shout to the Lord than to purify your life. But this morning I say, PTL, praise the Lord and purify the life. Praise the Lord and purify the life. And put some pressure on the beam. Put some pressure on your life to overcome the flesh. Hebrews 1 and 9 says, you have loved righteousness and hated sin. You have loved righteousness, holiness, and you've hated sin and iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy and gladness above all your companions. We need to love righteousness, and we need to hate sin in our lives as the people of the Lord. Or let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Put to death, crucify them, take them to the cross. Take up your cross daily. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. Now let the image of Christ come forth in our life, that we might be conformed to the Son of God, and that we might put off the sin and the darkness and all those wicked things against the name of the Lord. You can't go easy on the flesh and expect to have an anointed life. You can't go easy on the flesh and expect to have an anointed life. It takes the third weight. It takes the heaviest weight of all to break the flesh life in us and release us in holiness and righteousness before the Lord, because the sin habits and the sinful flesh and nature are so ingrained in humanity. We need the press of the Holy Spirit. Now, I thank God that there is an anointing that will deal with the flesh. I thank the Lord there's an anointing that will clean up our lives completely. There is an anointed soap. There is Dove soap. But the only way to get it is to get into the oil press and get under some heavy pressure by the Holy Spirit in your prayers and agony and crying out to the Lord. And the oil begins to flow and you're changed. It's not easy to overcome the flesh, as every person here knows. It's not easy to overcome the flesh life, but there is an oil of the Holy Spirit that will touch our life and set us free from bondage and from sin habits, and will set us free from ourselves so we can serve the living and true and holy God. Then we are free, and we are free indeed. My, isn't it wonderful to overcome the flesh? Isn't it wonderful to get victory over the bondage points of human personality and really walk in Christ? You feel like you're walking on air because you're walking in the holiness of the Lord, and he's lifted you into the high places of the earth. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the oil press 3 times so we could be set free and have the Holy Spirit life in us. Hallelujah. Oil for the house of God this morning. Quick response to anoint the presence of the Lord in worship and prayer, and anoint the people of God to be filled with the Spirit when we come to the house of the Lord. Oil, the second press, for food, for eating and cooking. So this word of God tastes like wafers prepared with oil and is as sweet as honey to our mouth. And we live by the words of the Lord. And in our homes, the presence of the Lord about our tables, as we lift up the Lord and eat our bread in gladness and simplicity of heart, rejoicing in Christ for all things, for he is our Lord and Savior. And oil for the cleansing and the guiding of our life, it's available in the Lord, and we thank him so much. Now this morning, as we close out, I want to share a few scriptures, and I want to put a spiritual play on these scriptures and encourage the press. Encourage the press. Although these scriptures don't relate to the oil press, there is a divinely anointed connection here, I believe, this morning. Mark 3:10. For Jesus had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him. They pressed upon him to touch him, as many as has plagues. The people pressed on Jesus for healing. They didn't stand by the side of the road and, well, maybe Jesus will stop by. No, like blind Bartimaeus crying out, even when he was Silas, crying out. He says, Son of God, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord finally stopped the procession. He said, I hear that voice. If you need healing in your physical body, press into the Lord. Press into the Lord. Luke 5:1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Do you press upon the Lord to hear the word of God? Lord, open my eyes. Lord, give me understanding. Lord, when I read the word of God today, let it come off the pages. Let fire burn in my heart. And when I come to the house of God under the preaching and teaching ministers, let my heart be set on fire and let me learn. Open my ears, open my heart so I can hear what you have to say. If you press on the Lord like that, you will have the word of the Lord in your life. But if you're casual, it's like it slipped right by. The disciples were on the water, and Jesus came walking, and he made as though he would have gone by them. He made as though he would have gone by them, and yet he was coming to them, but he was walking by them until they cried out and said, No, come, Lord, who are you, Lord? The Emmaus Road, same. As they came to the house, those two disciples, and Jesus had joined them, and they didn't know that it was the Lord. Their eyes were holding, but as they came to the house, Jesus again made as he would have gone by them. I'm on a journey. This isn't the place I'm going to stop. And they constrained him. They said, abide with us. Come into our house. Come in and fellowship with us. And he turned into their home. And their eyes were opened, and they received the blessing of the Lord. We have to press on the Lord. We have to press on the Lord for healing. We have to press on the Lord for the revelation of His Word. Philippians 3:14, the Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I am pressing toward the finish line to win this championship for Christ in my life. He didn't say I saunter toward the mark, or I limp along toward the mark. He said I press toward the mark. If we're going to have an anointed life and we're going to have the run of the Spirit in us, we're going to have to press like Paul. Say, I press toward the mark. I'm putting some pressure. I'm putting some Holy Spirit diligence. I'm putting some holy boldness into my life to walk with God and to finish this life in victory to gain that prize. Acts 18:5, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified that Jesus was Christ. When his brethren came, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified. If you will get pressed in the Spirit, you will testify. But it takes some pressing in our spirit. It takes some weight. It takes some demand in our spirit in order to release the ministry and to release the anointing of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. What a testimony, the Apostle Paul. He said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But there's good news that when you feel pressed beyond measure, when you feel you have nothing left to give, the Holy Spirit will always replenish you and supply you. There's nothing wrong with pouring out our lives till there's nothing left on occasion after occasion. Sometimes we hold back. I can't go to church. I'm a little tired. I'm a little weak. I don't have time for the Word of God. I can't give myself to ministry. I have to retain my strength. I mean, I've got tomorrow to look after. But I'll tell you, if we, like the Apostle Paul, say, I will pour out my life till the last drop on this occasion if need be, the Holy Spirit, when we're pressed out of measure in those times, the Holy Spirit will revive us and replenish us. And as we're laying in our beds at night and calling out on the Lord in our sleep, wow, the Holy Spirit oil has replenished our lives for the glory of God. Hallelujah. It's good to be pressed, isn't it? Wow, a lot of good things happen to the Christians when they allow themselves to be pressed in the oil press and allow that anointing to be released by the Holy Spirit. And let's close with these two scriptures. Psalm 52 and verse 8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God, a green and olive tree, anointed." That's what David said. My life's anointed. I'm like an olive tree. I'm bringing forth the anointing of the Spirit, the presence of the Lord. In Psalm 92:10, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, a horn of strength, the horn of power. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Would you make that your prayer today? Sincere cry, I shall be anointed with fresh oil in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it." Every man presses into it. We need that press of the Holy Spirit on our lives to let the weight come on our life. Let the weight come on our life. Doesn't take much for praise and worship to flow for the house of God. That first weight is all it takes. I'm so willing. Extra virgin olive oil. Virgin olive oil. The press for the food, the Word of God, and the meals in our home. But then that heavy press, that press against the flesh, that anointing that releases the power of God against our flesh life, sets us free to forever walk in the liberty and goodness and gladness of the Lord. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we need fresh oil today. Need fresh oil. Need fresh oil today. You know, the Holy Spirit, there are some of you here today that need to put some pressure on your life to get the anointing to release. Get into the oil press. Get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Get some pressure on your life to get some fresh anointing and some joy, some oil of gladness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Break the flesh life. Jesus said, "Couldn't you watch 1 hour?" 1 hour. They could have prayed for 1 hour. Those disciples could have overcome, but they didn't. The Lord is releasing us today with understanding and revelation. Hallelujah. Ask the Lord for fresh oil. Commit yourself to coming under the oil press so you can receive from the Lord. But I also want to encourage those that might feel empty this morning and discouraged. The Bible says of Jesus that he will not quench the smoking flax. He won't quench the smoking flax lamp. And it's a picture of a lamp that has run out of oil. It's depleted. It's discouraged. It's empty. A life that's empty. It's been battling. That life's been battling against the darkness. It's been shining. It's been trying to overcome satanic attack and voices of men and the circumstances and heaviness of life. This lamp has been shining, but now the oil supply is out. And you may feel like that, but Jesus is here to encourage you and to lift you up and to supply you again, because the Bible says he will not extinguish, he will not quench a smoking lamp. He will come and he will pour fresh oil and he will put fresh fire on you this morning. And if that's you and you need a touch from the Lord today in your weakness and in your emptiness, please step out from where you are and come and receive from the presence of the Lord today. Come and receive the anointing. Come and receive the blessing of God. Come and receive fresh fire, fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there are others this morning need a touch from the Lord to overcome the flesh, to break sin in your life, to have a new day in God, a new release. you would live in the fire, you'd live in the power, that you would live as sons and daughters of God are meant to live, overcomers, bright, filled with the Spirit, engaged for the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what it's like when we don't have oil. When we don't have oil, the wick of our human life gets scorched. And we blacken easily when we don't have oil. But when there's oil in our life, the oil can flow through the wick of this human life and it can stay on fire and we live effortlessly in the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Presence of God today, Lord. Thank you for every person, Lord. It's at the altars this morning. Pour fresh oil for them. Pour fresh oil. Teach them how to get oil at the oil press. Teach them how to put weight on their life, Lord God. Weight on their life, O Lord, to press out some anointing that'll set them free and lift them and lead them and guide them, Lord. So we lift up our brothers and sisters today, Lord. Oh, Father. Holy oil, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil.